Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday, a happy Easter and a happy Passover. Last week we took the week off for Passover Seder. For those of you who celebrated, I hope you had a great time. For those of you who have celebrated Easter, I hope you had a wonderful day. It was indeed beautiful. We have a really awesome show tonight. We have an awesome show tonight because I'm excited about a guest that I've never spoken to before. Actually, I'm excited about both guests. But normally we have Mark Pafford calling in from Tallahassee, but he was called away on an emergency meeting tonight. But we are fortunate, very fortunate, to have Representative Lori Berman with us, and I'm going to talk to her in just a moment. The legislature's been hard at work the last couple of weeks since we've been away, but half the session is almost over, so we're going to talk about some very serious issues. After we talk to Representative Berman, we are going to talk to Peter Spett. And Peter is going to talk about a very serious form of abuse perpetrated on all of us, perhaps by unscrupulous stockbrokers or financial advisors. Not necessarily the Bernie Madoff type of fraud, but the more subtle but no less serious fraud if you've been a victim that can destroy your retirement. So Peter Spett is an attorney specialized in recovering your money from investment brokerage firms or brokers themselves who are or have been accused of wrongdoing. It's a fascinating topic, one I'm very interested in. I can't wait to have that conversation. And then, of course, later we'll have our Nostalgic American Minute trivia question. But first, we're going to talk to State Representative Lori Berman. Representative, I can't thank you enough for coming on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, it's thrilling. I don't know you. I have not met you, but I did do a lot of homework in the hour or so since I knew you were coming on. So I know you're in District 90, and you're closer to my home. I live in Boca, and you're in Boynton Beach, so we have a lot in common. I noticed, Representative Berman, that that you have submitted a tremendous number of bills over the last 2 years in particular. And I've tried to explain to the listeners sometimes that getting bills heard, particularly as a minority legislator in an overwhelmingly majority-driven process, is a very difficult process. Is that frustrating for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is difficult. But my last 2 years, which were my first session, were very difficult. I have found that there is definitely a change in the atmosphere here in Tallahassee, partly because I think of the last election and partly because our numbers have gotten slightly larger. So two of my bills were heard this last week. One of my bills was heard before that. So we are starting to get much more movement in the minority party and getting a few bills at least heard, maybe not moving totally forward, but at least starting to have some discussion of the issues.
So obviously from the name of the show, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, our audience is boomers and their parents. And I see that you are on the Health and Human Services Access Subcommittee. Is there anything going on in that committee at the moment that the listener to this show should really be paying strict attention to?
It's actually the Healthy Families Committee, so okay. It's more focused on younger children, so probably less so, but I think there's been some really exciting things that we've done in that committee, which your listeners might want to hear about. Particularly, one of the really great things we're working on is trying to help foster children, and we're allowing them, changing the standards so that right now when they want to have a sleepover with a friend, that other friend's parents have to be fingerprinted, and they haven't been able to live normal lives, and we've changed the standard, and hopefully if that passes, they'll be able to have a much more normal existence. And a lot of them age out of the system at 18. Their foster parents no longer care for them, and we're working on changing that to 21. So there's some good things happening there. And then the other really good thing happening in that committee, which affects everyone, we are working on a bill. The committee proposed a bill last week, which I actually was pretty instrumental in working on, called Mental Health First Aid. We all know that after, you know, the Sandy Hook shootings and the shootings in Colorado, we've got to address this problem as a society. And what this bill does, it's patterned after a program, actually it uses the program that was started in Australia, and then several other states have it. And it's kind of like CPR in terms of mental health. We'll have 44 people in the state of Florida go and take a course in how to recognize mental health problems and where you can make referrals and what to do if you recognize a problem. And then those people become the trainers, and they go out and train other people in the issue. So it's kind of like, that's where it's like CPR. You've got people who are the trainers, and then they're going to go out in the community and train more people. So you've got to train the trainer situation. And one of the really important things we put in that legislation is that one of the first places that they need to go to train people is in our school districts, because we're seeing so many of the problems are happening right now among younger people. So we want to try and address the issue at the root, try and stop it, get people help that they need, but at the very least start to recognize some of the problems at that age.
So I would guess that would garner bipartisan support, since
Absolutely.
It really doesn't have anything to do with gun control per se, but it does have to identify the mental health issues that we're also concerned about.
Absolutely. You know, I think that after Sandy Hook, we need to have a two-pronged approach to the problem, and that's one of the prongs is the mental health. I also filed a bill for mental health parity, which isn't getting anywhere, but I'm happy that this other bill, at least we're going to hear some, hopefully we'll pass some legislation that addresses mental health. On the gun control side, I have actually also filed legislation. This is my third year in a row filing some legislation that affects guns and gun ownership, because I do feel it's a really big problem in society, and we need to address that issue also. The legislation that I filed this year is to have a universal background check for everyone who's purchasing a gun. So basically, you won't be able to purchase a gun from your next door neighbor without having to go through a background check. You won't be able to purchase a gun over the internet without going through a background check, and you won't be able to purchase a gun at a gun show without going through a background check. A recent Quinnipiac poll showed that 91% of Floridians favor universal background checks in connection with gun sales. Unfortunately, that bill is not getting any movement this session, and I don't think it will go anywhere, which I'm disappointed about.
I have no doubt that would be an uphill climb. So one of the things that I talked to Representative Pafford about, and by the way, listener, if you're just tuning in, we have Representative Laurie Berman on tonight straight from Tallahassee, who is filling us in on some of the important things that she's been doing. One of the things, and we only have a minute or so left, but one of the things that, you know, I know frustrates me, and when I tell my listeners, if I go out and I speak to them, that you're only in session for 60 days, and nearly half your session is already over. Can you really be effective legislator? Can the legislature be effective? I know you're all effective, but can the legislature be effective only being in session for 60 days?
I agree with you. I mean, I think that 60 days is very short. And think about it. We're doing over $70 billion budget in that time period. Not only are we working on legislation, which is not required, but those are, you know, things that people ask us to do and that we feel are necessary, because the only thing that our job that's required is to do the budget. And we are working on this budget, and, you know, other local governments that have much, much less money spend much more time working on their budgets. We're up here in 60 days, and we have to do a $70 billion budget, $70 billion plus budget. So I do think we do have committee weeks, and, you know, we are up here more than that, but I do think 2 months is pretty short for us to get everything done.
So I know that you welcome and relish hearing from your constituents.
Absolutely.
So since this is your first time on the show, and we only have a few seconds left, why don't we tell everybody what your district is specifically, and then we can tell people how best to reach you.
Okay. I'm representing District 90. It starts at Boynton Beach Boulevard and goes north, and my eastern border is I-95. The western border is the Turnpike. It mostly goes up to Malaluka or 6th Avenue as the northern border, but there is a piece on the western side that takes in Green Acres. So the cities are Green Acres, Atlantis, Lantana, Lake Worth, and Boynton Beach. The best way to get in touch with me is through my house website, which is lori.berman@myfloridahouse.gov. Or you can give us a call up here in Tallahassee, 850-717-5090, or at our office in Boynton Beach, 561-374-7850. And I'd love to hear from people. You have any problems, any concerns with the legislature or with any agencies in the state of Florida, we're happy to assist.
So I can't thank you enough for filling in on such short notice for Representative Pafford. I'll tell him that you were a much better guest than he, and that I would welcome you back anytime. I really do appreciate it, and it was nice to meet you and nice to talk to you. And thank you so much, Representative Berman, for being on.
Thank you for having me on.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
So, everybody, that was State Representative Lori Berman from District 90, who was filling in ably for State Representative Mark Pafford, who was called away on an emergency committee meeting tonight. But now we're on to our guest for the rest of the show, and we are indeed fortunate to have Peter Spedd here. Peter is an attorney specializing in FINRA arbitration, and we will explain what FINRA is soon. But he specializes in FINRA arbitration and securities fraud litigation. He represents individuals just like you when you have claims against stockbrokers, brokerage firms, financial advisors, and other investment firms. He started his practice in 2003 after a very accomplished career with firms like CIBC, Oppenheimer, Morvillo Abramowitz, and another Wall Street law firm. He graduated his undergraduate and law school degrees from Columbia University and is a member of the bar in Florida, New York, and New Jersey, and he's a member of the U.S. District Court's bar of Southern Florida and two districts in New York. So, Peter, welcome to Oh My God.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So why don't we start with some basics, Peter, about exactly what you do and who are you likely to represent?
Sure. So most people do not realize that securities fraud isn't just for the Bernie Madoff type of situation or a Ponzi scheme or people falsifying records. A lot of time, and the courts have found this, securities fraud is making an unsuitable investment recommendation. So when a financial advisor makes a recommendation of certain securities, stocks, bonds that a retiree, for example, shouldn't be in. They're too risky. They're too volatile. They're illiquid. That can constitute securities fraud. So a lot of my cases are like that. And then you have other types of fraud situations where brokers churn accounts. They do excessive trading to generate commissions. And you have other situations where sometimes financial advisors trade without authorization. All those constitute securities fraud under the law, and those are some of the types of cases I bring, along with a Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme.
You know, if you're just tuning in, audience, I'm here with attorney Peter Spedd, who specializes in FINRA arbitration and securities litigation. If you think you might have been a victim of brokerage fraud in some way, shape, or form, and we'll talk about all of those as we go on, don't forget you can call us and ask questions at 1-877-960-9960. But you know, since I knew you were coming on and we met last week in anticipation of the show, I don't know if I was hypersensitive or it was regular, but this weekend, including this morning, there were at least three or four stories that are representative in the newspaper of the types of things we're talking about. One of those stories was about a mutual fund that said that they focused on distressed property, that they focused on distressed assets. But in the interim, the manager of that fund decided to go into much riskier derivative trading. And there were two people who filed FINRA arbitration about that. So that's something where you think you're doing all the right things, and you still may be caught with your pants down, right?
Sure. You bring up a very good point. A lot of types of securities fraud are based on misrepresentations or omissions to state material facts. So misrepresentation, you are saying you're going to invest in certain types of securities in your hedge fund, mutual fund, or exchange-traded fund, and you do not. That is fraud. Material omission, you invest in something and you do not disclose it, and it's something that's much more riskier than what you represented. That's also a type of securities fraud. So both of those, and they all goes back to unsuitability, because you are putting people into things that they shouldn't be in. They are expecting to be in their investment goals and their investment needs. They're expecting to be much more conservative, and these are riskier or illiquid types of deals.
You know, I it just so happens again. Again, I don't know if I'm hypersensitive to your being here, but I'm thinking of selling one apartment and buying another house. I'm thinking of moving up here, and in the interim, I will have some cash from one, and will likely have cash left over. And I called my broker today, and I said, "Who's my best friend, by the way?" And I called, and I said, "So how do I invest that money in a place that's reasonably safe that gets me more than 1%, which is what you're getting in a money market?" And his answer was, "You don't, unless you're willing to take on some investment risk." So he was kind of really doing his job, but not every broker does that.
Right. Something the listeners should understand is the amount of gains that you can possibly get, or interest you can get, is tied to risk. Your risk reward is always taken into account in your upside. So if you're making a lot, or you have the potential to make a lot on the upside, just keep in mind that it can go downside, as there's no sure thing.
And you need to be advised of that.
You need to be advised of that.
So when we come back, we're going to ask Attorney Spett, Peter Spett, if making a dumb investment decision, and I've made a few of those, if making a dumb investment decision can still constitute inappropriate advice from a brokerage firm, we're also going to talk about why a financial checkup is just as important as a medical checkup. So this is Scott Greenberg on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I'm here with securities attorney Peter Spett, and we're talking about protecting your money tonight. And if you have any questions, remember, you can reach us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
Joining us is Scott Greenberg. He's the president of Comfort Care Senior Services, serving Palm Beach and Martin County. Scott, what are some of the payment options we have with Comfort Care Senior Services?
Well, of course, we accept all long-term care insurance. And so if you have a long-term care insurance policy, we will take it and accept assignment. We also will work with you to help get veterans benefits if you're eligible for aid in attendance. On some cases, if you're part of Medicaid diversion, we'll work with that depending upon the agency. And lastly, of course, there is private pay options.
Scott, if we'd like to get in touch with Comfort Care Senior Services, how should we do it?
You can reach us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 561-630-1620, or you can always reach out to us on our website. You can email me at scott.greenberg@comfortcare.com or palmbeach.comfortcare.com, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services on CV Radio, 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. I can't tell you how excited I am about tonight's subject matter, because it's something that I really, I'm fascinated about. I'm really interested in, because I invest, as I'm sure most of you do, and I've made some really dumb investments in my life, and that have cost me some money, and I've made some great investments. I would say the dumb ones were stupidity, and the good ones were lucky. But we're here with Attorney Peter Spatt, and we are going to talk about the kinds of things that constitute brokerage fraud or potential brokerage fraud, and how the process works where you might be able to get some of your money back, if not all of your money back. But before we do, I'm going to do my Nostalgic America Minute, so listen and pay attention carefully. Nostalgic America Magazine is available for free. I know everybody likes that word, for free, almost everywhere. It's available in Whole Foods. It's available in Joseph's. Up here in Palm Beach Gardens, where I am right now, it's at the Boulevard. It's pretty much everywhere where you might be, over 55 communities, beach communities up and down. This month on the cover is Cary Grant. I know it's Cary Grant because I thought it was Clark Gable, and everybody keeps telling me how stupid I was. So I've been corrected by all the Cary Grant fans, and he is a very, very handsome devil. And I'm told much better looking than Clark Gable. Anyway, the new edition, which comes out on April 10th, that'll be the middle of next week, will have Sophia Loren, and I will not mistake her for anybody because she is one of the most beautiful women who ever lived and one of my favorites. Remember, you can find this fun and free magazine everywhere, and I do mean everywhere. I also encourage you, when you pick up the magazine, to read my column. This month, I think I have one of the funniest columns I ever had, and I encourage you to pick it up. It's on page 43. It's very serious and yet quite humorous, so pick that up. And my guest tonight wrote a column on page 71. And if you want to know more about what he does and you have the magazine, open it up to page 71, and Attorney Peter Spatt is there, and you can see a little bit more about what he does. So here is my question for this week, and I get all my questions every week out of the magazine. So if you have it, you could find this. In 1965, this man led a strike of California grape pickers that led to the formation of the United Farm Workers Union. If you know who that man is, call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960. And if you want to cheat, go to page 58 on the magazine. But anyway, now to my guest, Peter Spatt, who's a securities attorney, who represents common people like you and I who may have been treated poorly by their stockbroker or their brokerage firm or other investment opportunities that may have been given. So Peter, when did you just make a bad investment decision that cost you money? And when was it possibly with the aid and assistance of a broker?
Okay. Well, let's bring you back to the conversation you just had with your own stockbroker. That's a very important conversation. A stockbroker has to check in with you and know what your investment needs and goals are. He has to know how much money you have in various areas, whether how much you have in the bank, how much you have in your home. And then he has to know also what your income needs are. Are you retired? Are you still working? He has to know your liquidity. He has to know your time horizon. You're looking to possibly make a major purchase, and that money you can't bear the risk of losing that much money. So he's a professional. He's a licensed professional. They all have to be licensed. They take what's called a Series 7 exam, and they get a Series 7 license. And some of them even have different other types of licenses. In any event, they are professionals, and they have to give you investment recommendations based on your investment profile. Now, part of your investment profile, too, is your experience and your sophistication. Some of us have been investing for many, many years, and some of us are new to investing. But the most important thing is that they don't concentrate you in one particular type of investment, that all your eggs aren't in one basket. So taking into account all those things, it falls on the financial professional if he's giving you bad advice based upon that whole financial profile and picture. If you go ahead and you go on E-Trade and you make your own investment decisions without recommendation, no, you can't sue E-Trade or whatever for your own unsolicited decisions. But if the stockbroker does something that is grossly inappropriate based on your investment profile, you need income. You're on retirement. You're on a fixed income. And he puts all your money in a penny stock. Well, that's inappropriate. That's something that I typically would go after a financial advisor for. Or he puts a bulk of your assets into bonds over in Cyprus or something like that. But you'd be surprised. You know, these things sound preposterous, but they are very commonplace. People get convinced that that's where the market's going up and down. They don't want to put the money in the stock market. They want to try something else, something more exotic, something that's going to beat the market. Well, in that case, if somebody says this is something that's going to beat the market, that should be a warning sign to you as an investor that you have to do more diligence and more homework and listen carefully, because that they're probably leading you down the wrong path in that situation.
So how – I know you said they should have a picture of your total picture, of your total financial picture. I know you talk in terms of having a financial checkup annually, much like you have a medical checkup annually. Is it fair for your stockbroker to know, to ask what you have at other brokerage accounts or what your mortgage is, what your income is? I mean, is that a component part of that?
It's more than fair. It is actually their obligation to know that information. Now, if you do not give full disclosure, that's your option. But then the stockbroker cannot be responsible for what he doesn't know. But it is in your interest to disclose. I mean, you're giving your stockbroker, you want to lay it all out, just like you would lay it all out to your doctor, you know, what all your medical conditions are, what medicines you're taking, even if they're prescribed by another doctor. Your financial advisor, in order to properly advise you, in order to also have those legal obligations and duties I've been talking about, has to have the full picture.
So what are some of the common mistakes that investors make that cause them such great distress?
Well, the first one is, like we were just talking about, not having that conversation maybe every year or maybe even more regularly with their broker about what their investment needs and goals are. Your broker needs to know your time horizon for investing, your need for income, whether you have a nest egg somewhere else and this money is so that they can advise you. But also, as a investor, I tell my clients, and allow clients come to me because they didn't do this, they did not review their monthly account statements either that they get in the mail or online, but it's important to double check, trust but verify, to look at what they're actually investing in, whether they have a diverse portfolio, whether they're not. You know, you shouldn't just be in three or four securities. You should be in at least, I would say, at least 20, or in a mutual fund. You have to be no more than 5-6% in any one security, because that protects you to be diversified. And it's a legal violation if you are over-concentrated.
I mean, you're right about people not paying a lot of attention. I know that when the market was tanking a few years ago, months would go by, and I couldn't bear to open the brokerage statement. I couldn't bear to look at my 401k because it was now a 201k. But that's kind of the worst mistake one can make, isn't it?
Well, it's a natural impulse. I mean, because if we all look at something where we're losing, we don't want to invest emotionally, so we're afraid that we will overreact to what we're seeing. But at the same point, you have to be cognizant of what is going on. That way you'll know if your financial advisor is doing what you have been asking him to do and trading in the trades that he's been recommending and that you've authorized.
So this is Scott Greenberg on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom. And tonight I'm here with attorney Peter Spett, who is a securities litigator, a securities attorney specializing in recovering damage. We're going to talk about if you think you've been a victim of stockbroker misconduct, what you can do about that. We're also going to talk about whether size matters. We're going to talk about that. And we're also, I'm going to encourage you, if you didn't hear the question, the Nostalgic America Minute question, if you know who was the founder of the United Farm Workers Union, you can call us and win a couple of tickets. You can call us if you have questions for Attorney Peter Spett or for myself. You can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
Joining us is Scott Greenberg. He's the president of Comfort Care Senior Services, serving Palm Beach and Martin County. Scott, tell us a little bit about what kind of stresses caregivers are dealing with today.
You know, Mike, it's really a serious subject. In the area of Alzheimer's specifically, it's a stated statistic, 64% of family caregivers will predecease their family member who is suffering from Alzheimer's. So what we do at Comfort Care is we help alleviate that stress by putting a caregiver in, allowing the family member to go on and do the things that are important to them. And so caregiver stress plays a much, much bigger role than people give it credit for.
Scott, if we'd like to get in touch with Comfort Care Senior Services, how should we do it?
You can reach us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 561-630-1620. Or you can always reach out to us on our website. You can email me at scott.greenberg@comfortcare.com or palmbeach.comfortcare.com. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services on CV Radio, 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Attorney Peter Spett, a securities litigator who can help you recover your assets if you think you've been taken advantage of by an unscrupulous investment brokerage firm or stockbroker. Now, look, most stockbrokers are above honest, and most stockbrokers care as much about your money as you do because that's how they stay in business. But there are some times that even honest mistakes are made that you can recover assets from, and then there are some times that you have people who push you into investments that you should stay away from. You know, Peter, one of the things that is happening in today's marketplace in particular, everybody understands interest rates are so low, people are pushing for yield. I mean, they need more money. I mean, particularly if you're retired, my audience, particularly if you've retired, you thought you were going to cash 5% CDs or 6% CDs for the rest of your life, and now you're lucky you're getting 1.5%. And you kind of can't afford to live on that. So you push for more yield, and that's when the trouble can start.
Right, right. Well, as tragic as it is right now that people cannot put their money in a safe place like a CD in the bank and earn a sustainable interest rate, it could even be more tragic if you try to get a 6-7% yield and you're putting it in a bond or a high yield debt offering that becomes either illiquid or loses value very quickly. Again, it's important to keep in mind that risk and interest rates are tied together. If you're getting 6-7% in this current environment, that is probably because the securities that you're investing in are higher risk, much higher risk than your typical U.S. Treasury, which is paying, you know, 1.5%. So you got to keep that in mind and make sure that, again, that you're diversified. There are ways to earn a higher rate by diversifying, but still keeping some risk tolerance low.
You know, one of the things that you and I talked about when we met last week was, you know, an example of inappropriate investments really was in the tech boom of 2000. Now, I don't think there is a boon now, but maybe there is in junk bonds, maybe because the yield on junk bonds has come way, way down. That's a place where if you're put or if you were investing in the tech bubble, that was an inappropriate place if you were near retirement. And if you're in junk bonds now where the yields aren't really matching the risk, while you're reaching out for that, a good stockbroker should probably be cautious and not put you in those things, right?
Right. Well, again, you know, you could have a small percentage of assets in it, but again, keep in mind that what you're putting those assets in, that you can risk losing the value of the principal. So you have to keep all those things in mind and ask your stockbroker that particular question. Why is this paying a high interest rate? What are the risks involved in putting my money in this security? And your financial advisor not only should be volunteering that information when he's recommending it to you, but if you ask him that question directly, should be able to give you all the risk factors and all the materials as to how they're getting the higher interest rates. So you can make an educated decision, especially if you have experience. But again, diversification and knowing where the risks are.
Okay. So now you started with X and you have X minus 30% and you think it's because you were put in a bad investment. What do you do besides call Peter Speck? But that is, I guess, where you start. What do you do?
Well, one of the first things is to call up your stockbroker and find out what was going on. Hear what they have to say. Talk to their boss. Then you may, depending upon, your sophistication and how much money you lost, you may want to complain, write a letter, or consult with an attorney like myself. It doesn't have to be me, but if it's me, I'm happy to give free consultations and find out if there was some wrongdoing there, if there was some wrongful advice. I usually can tell within 10 to 15 minutes of talking to somebody whether there was something inappropriate.
So how do you do that? What kind of questions do you ask? And by the way, as long as I'm asking, how do they reach you if they want to reach you?
Okay, so I have a toll-free number, which is 888-217-4919. I also have a website, which is www.spetlaw.com. That's SPETTLAW.com. So if what questions do I ask? Well, I ask some of the things that I've been talking about. Did you have a regular checkup with your financial advisor? Does your financial advisor know what your investment needs and goals are? How much wealth do you have? How much income do you have? What was your investment goals? Were you willing to take a little bit of risk? And also, were you diversified, or was this all your eggs were in one basket? Those are important. And then we look at the actual securities that you are invested in, and we look at, that's when I have to sometimes get back to people. We look at if these securities were, blue chips, or were they pink sheets. There's a whole range of securities out there, and some people just shouldn't be investing in unless they're the most sophisticated and have lots of assets.
So sometimes people are embarrassed to admit that they have that they're losing a lot of their money or a large sum of money. Some people are embarrassed. They really shouldn't be embarrassed, right? I mean, they need to stop it if it's happening.
Right, right. Well, that's when, unfortunately, that's how a lot of my clients wind up in a tough situation. It snowballs. Small problems become bigger problems over time. The financial advisor, some of them who are unscrupulous, say, just wait, the market will bounce back, it'll come back. And waiting is sometimes not the right thing to do. You need to be proactive and keep your eye on the ball.
So I'm here with attorney Peter Spett, and we're talking about protecting your money tonight and what to do if your money has disappeared through no fault of your own and you would like to get some of that back. When we come back, we're going to talk about how the arbitration process works, exactly who FINRA is. I also want to talk to you boomers out there about staying in touch with your parents. It's really hard to ask mom and dad what's going on with their money, but you need to, particularly if there's some dementia creeping into their lives. And so we're going to be talking about that when we come back. But this is Scott Greenberg, Seaview Radio, 95.9 FM, 960 AM, 106.9 FM. You're listening to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. And if you have questions for us, you can reach us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
Joining us is Scott Greenberg. He's the president of Comfort Care Senior Services, serving Palm Beach and Martin County. Scott, what are some of the areas of expertise that makes Comfort Care Senior Services unique?
You know, one of the things we do, Mike, is that we hire a rabbi periodically to work with some of our caregivers on maintaining a traditional kosher home or a traditional Jewish home. We have the ability to put caregivers in who understand what it is to maintain a traditional Jewish or kosher home. So, for example, lighting candles on Friday night, making sure when they go shopping, make sure that everything they buy has either the K or the OU.
Scott, if we'd like to get in touch with Comfort Care Senior Services, how should we do it?
You can reach us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 561-630-1620, or you can always reach out to us on our website. You can email me at scott.greenberg@comfortcare.com or palmbeach.comfortcare.com, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services on CVU Radio, 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
So welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Peter Spett, who's a securities attorney specializing in litigating to get you your money back if you feel that perhaps you might have been taken advantage of by poor advice from a brokerage firm or a specific broker. Peter, you've done your homework, you've asked a few questions, people have got up the gumption and the courage, they picked up the phone, they called you, you think there's something that you might be able to help recover. What then happens? Is this FINRA arbitration? I don't want to arbitrate. I have to, though, don't I?
Well, yes. When you, as an investor, when you sign your forms, when you open up the account, almost inevitably, it always contains a arbitration provision in the contract, in the customer contract. So, and actually, you know, that works in the investor's favor sometimes. The arbitration process is quicker than going to court. There's less chance that it'll be appealed if you win a judgment. So, and it's always where the investor lives. So, you know, there's some advantages to the arbitration process. It's a little bit more expensive. It costs more money to file an arbitration than to go to court. But that expense is, in my experience, that it's worth it. The arbitration process is that much more efficient.
So that brings me to a topic which I guess is nobody likes to talk about. But you're an attorney. You don't do this out of the goodness of your heart. You have to be paid. But you work on contingency. Am I right?
Yes. So the way I work and a lot of other attorneys in this area work is on a contingency fee basis. You know, people have lost their money. They're not in the position to pay attorney's fees on top of the money that they lost. So what we do is, and I myself do this, is I do not charge attorney's fees unless there's a recovery, and then I take a percentage out of the recovery, and the client gets the other percentage. We basically become partners. It's you know, it varies from case to case. It usually is around 1/3 of the recovery.
So the cost of filing an arbitration are typically borne, if the attorney's contingency, is typically borne by the attorney, but that once the award is made, you take that back and then you do your divide.
Well, you know, just to be clear on this, the way I work is on the client pays for partial expenses. The client pays for the filing fee with FINRA. That usually runs between $1,000 to $1,500. And so I ask the client to advance that type of expense because that part you need to do to get the ball rolling. But other than that, I advance all costs, and then at the end, that comes off the top.
Aren't arbitration panels all insiders? Isn't it a stacked deck against the investor?
You know, it used to be that way. It used to be so let me first explain where you arbitrate. The arbitration is done by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. It used to be the New York Stock Exchange and the National Association of Securities Dealers, NSD. Those two agencies combined now, and they're in one agency called FINRA. It's they have offices in Boca Raton. They have offices in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. But they always have the arbitration hearings where the investor lives. You file with FINRA. You pay the fee. You submit a claim like it is a complaint. And then the arbitrators now are – you have the option of having an all-public panel, which means that none of them currently work in the securities industry. That doesn't mean that they couldn't have worked in the securities industry in the past and retired or are in different lines of work. But you have to keep in mind that arbitrators who are doing these types of arbitration, they're interested in this type of case. So, yes, they usually have some connection. But right now, you have the option as an investor to do an all-public panel. And if you retain an attorney like myself, we can request that.
And Peter, I would guess, since you don't get paid if you don't win, you win most of your cases. Am I right?
Well, something I always tell my clients from the get-go is that it's a long process. There's discovery involved. You have to see what the brokerage firm, what materials they provide to you. Typically, if I take a case, clients get recovery. I won't say that they always get 100% recovery. That would not be true. But they get some of their money back. The arbitration process is not a perfect process. It doesn't always pick winners and losers. It sometimes splits the baby in half. So, and there are other ways that these things get resolved. Once you file a claim, as everybody knows, everything's negotiable. And so there's a negotiation process sometimes, a settlement discussion. Sometimes both sides decide to go outside the FINRA process and to mediate, which is non-binding, but you get a neutral third party, a wise man in the room, a wise woman in the room, and they say what they think are going to happen and try to bring the two sides
together.
How
long does a typical process of arbitration take?
Well, if it goes all the way through hearing, I think the latest statistics are it takes between a year to 18 months.
Wow. So if you're tuned in late, we have been talking with attorney Peter Spett, who is a securities litigator and helps you recover your funds if you think that you've been put in bad investments or inappropriate investments, even if, in fact, you might have approved those investments. It doesn't mean they were appropriate for you. If you enjoyed this show or missed it and wish you hadn't and want to hear how the beginning of it, you can get it tomorrow. It'll be on podcast around noon on iTunes and on the other three platforms for podcasts. You can get it by typing in OMG, I'm getting, and up it'll pop. It's free on podcast on iTunes, so you can do that. You can also subscribe to the show. You can also, around the same time, check it up on my website around noontime. Tomorrow might be a little late, but that is at palmbeach.comforcare.com. Palmbeach.comforcare, C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E.com. Of course, you can also listen live each week on your smartphone by downloading the TuneIn app, T-U-N-E-I-N app, and selecting 960 AM. It's available on your smartphone, and you can tune in, and you can listen to CVU all during the day. You can hear Colin spin the records all morning and all afternoon sometimes. And it's terrific to listen to CVU during the day. We listen to it in the office on the smartphone at times. And, of course, you can always listen online at www.cevieweradio.com, SEAVIEW radio.com. Next week, we're going to be talking to Cami Barrett, who is from the FAU Lifelong Learning Center, located here in Jupiter. We're also going to have one of the professors. This is an unbelievable resource in our community that brings wonderful programming to us. Most people don't even know it's out there, although I guess a lot of people do because 8,000 people take advantage of their continuing education classes as well as their lectures and their social activities. And we're going to talk about all they have to offer you and how you can take advantage of what they have. It's eye-opening, so don't miss Cami and a surprise guest from the FAU Lifelong Learning Center. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about some new initiatives with three guests who are developing a program to help people customize their homes so they can stay there instead of going somewhere else to live. Susan Luxenberg of HomeSmart is going to be here, along with Danielle Hartman from Ruth Rails and Jenny Frummer from Alpert Jewish Family, and they're going to talk about an exciting new program that all three of them are involved in to bring home renovation to those who really need it and would rather stay home than going somewhere else. One other announcement tonight is that I'm involved personally in a very interesting speaker series. At least I think it's interesting because I'm speaking. So it's designed specifically for family caregivers, not for professionals, but for family caregivers. And we're going to be at the other FAU campus Friday morning at the Memory and Wellness Center at 10 o'clock. Myself and two other people are going to be on the panel, and we're going to be talking about your options for care for family caregivers. So we're at the Green Memory and Wellness Center this Friday, April 5th at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to know more about that, call my office tomorrow at 561-630-1620. I hope if you're free, you'll consider attending. And of course, I asked a Nostalgic America Minute question before, which was about the 1965 strike of the California grape pickers and the man who led that strike, which was the forerunner and caused the formation of the United Farm Workers Union. Nobody called in, although everybody in the studio knew who it was. It was Cesar Chavez, and it's on page 58 in the magazine if you want to read more about that. But since I only have a couple of minutes left and I want to ask, I have so much more to ask my guest, I'm going to have him back because we haven't even covered a tenth of this. One of the things, Peter, that is really of concern is kids see their parents making kind of silly mistakes, but it's their parents and it's their parents' money. And that's a tough subject to have. But you think that's a critically important subject to have.
Yes, it's not an easy conversation to have. I have elderly parents myself, and you know, money is a sticky topic in the family. And you don't need to know exactly what your parents are doing, but you need to check in on whether they are comfortable with whoever's advising them, whether you think that there is any advantage being taken by a financial advisor, and have that type of conversation. It doesn't have to be, what are you investing in? It just has to be, well, you know, is everything okay? Is everything going okay with what you're doing with your investments?
So I think if you have tuned in late tonight, we talk about protecting your investments. So you need to understand, and Peter has an article on page 71 of this same month's edition of Nostalgic America magazine. You can also call him. How do they call you again?
It's toll-free, 888-217-4919.
So if you have questions about what rises to the level of misconduct that may prompt someone like Peter to take action, you can call him and he'll talk to you for free. He'll also tell you what you can do if you're a victim. And we reviewed some of the common warning signs, but you should be careful because there are a lot of them. And a lot of this is going on, and we encourage you. So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God. I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night, 6:06. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking about the FAU Lifelong Learning Center. But, Peter, I want to thank you for being here tonight. You were a wonderful guest, and we'll do it again.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
So good night, everybody. Enjoy. We'll see you next week.